Okay, pueden sentarse si quisieran. Siéntense. Y padres y niños, si quisiera, hay problemas porque me voy a predicar en inglés. Entonces es un poco largo. Si hay problemas, hay un nursery, puede estar en Narthex también para esperar. Okay. Okay, our text today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Verses 15 through 23, you can read along here on the screen. The Apostle Paul writes, I have heard of your faith, and by the way, this is a circular epistle. Not only did it go to the Christians at Ephesus, but all over Asia Minor. So Paul says, generally to all that audience, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you. Remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and he has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, last Tuesday at our fellowship time, our Zoom fellowship time, I asked the group to identify certain things that they tend to forget in the course of a day. And, you know, the usual things came up like car keys, right? Or I forget my PIN number at the ATH, or I forget my code for my computer, or, you know, I always misplace my glasses. Like, where are my glasses? Where are my glasses? Oh, yeah, that's right. But one that came up, which is kind of a new one for the COVID time, was I forget my mask. I don't know how many times I've gotten out of my car, walked halfway across the parking lot to Walgreens, and I forgot my mask. I got to go back, and I got to get my mask, right? We forget things like that. Or how many of you have seen the commercial where the guy takes the fishbowl with the goldfish and puts it on top of his car and drives off? Have you ever done something like that? I've lost a few coffee cups that way. But in the commercial, the guy ends up at his destination with the fishbowl and the goldfish intact. Does that ever happen? Never. If I did that, that fish would be on Martinez Nadal dying, run over five times, right? We tend to forget things all the time. And as we get older, we forget things more and more. Like, what's your name again? Oh, right? Or have you ever gone into a room and thought, wait a minute, why did I come into this room? We know what that's like. But let's face it, most of these things that we forget are no big deal. We can survive and adjust, right? But one thing that we do tend to forget, which is a big deal, is that we forget to be thankful, don't we? We forget to be thankful. And so the first thing we need to see is that gratitude is a memory of the heart. I mean, it's an exercise of the mind, but it's also a memory of our hearts. That's one reason why it's good to celebrate Thanksgiving each year, as it reminds us as a nation for all the things that we're thankful for what God has done as an island, for all the things that God has blessed us with here, and as individuals, for all that God has blessed us as individuals. In fact, it was Charles Dickens, the writer, who once said, you know, you Americans have this holiday all mixed up. What you ought to do is designate one day a year where you complain and then give thanks the rest of the year. And that's true, isn't it? That's good advice. I agree with that. But why do we forget? Well, we get harried. We get distracted. We get distressed. And we have our minds somewhere else. And so we forget the incredible blessings of just being alive. We forget the blessings of the hope that we have in Christ. We forget the blessing that we have a roof over our head. We forget the blessing that we have a chariot out there that's drawn by some like 150 horses, right? And on the list goes. All the incredible blessings that we possess, but we simply forget about them, don't we? All the time. That's why the Apostle Paul says here in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I what? I remember you in my prayers. But we tend to forget to thank God and others about the many blessings that are ours. That's why I like the Good News Spanish version of this verse. It says, No dejo de dar gracias a Dios. In other words, don't neglect it. Don't let it go. Don't leave it behind, but instead actively remember all that God has done for you. Because gratitude is a memory of the heart. And yet so often we forget to give thanks. Even on Thanksgiving Day. In fact, did you hear about the little kid who asked his father, Father, Dad, why do we eat turkey on Thanksgiving? You know what he said? He said, well, son, it's a tradition. And the boy said, well, what's a tradition? And his rather uninspired answer was, well, son, it's something that we've done so long that we forget why we do it. And that's true. Isn't that what tradition has become in a lot of ways, even Thanksgiving? Thus, in that sense, that's why the Jewish Passover is something of a Jewish Thanksgiving feast. Why? Because at every Jewish Passover, they ask the youngest member of the family to ask a key question. And what is that key question? Father, why do we do this? Why do we do this every year? And then the whole Passover meal is an answer to that question as they go back and remind themselves that they were once slaves under a brutal and vicious dictator who practiced infanticide to wipe them off the planet. And yet God, in the midst of that, delivered them from slavery with a mighty hand and blessed them by bringing them into the promised land. And that's what they rehearse and celebrate every Passover meal. They remember what God has done with gratitude because gratitude is a memory of the heart that then proceeds with thanksgiving from our lips. And that's why we pause and remember and rejoice and give thanks, right? But not just one day out of the year, every day of the year, not just every day, but every minute, every moment, we should have an attitude of gratitude, right? In fact, I read just this week that the English word for thankful comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word for thankful. That's interesting, isn't it? If we think about all that God has done, then we are thankful. But if we don't think, then we don't think. You see the connection? Or how many of you have ever seen that famous YouTube clip where violin virtuoso Joshua Bell shows up at a very crowded commuter stop in Washington, D.C. during the morning rush hour? Hundreds of, even thousands of people are going back and forth. And so he shows up with his violin case. He opens the case and he pulls out his multi-million dollar Stradivarius violin. I mean, this violin is worth more than your car. It's worth more than your house. It's worth more probably than your retirement nest egg. This violin. And he pulls it out and he throws a buck into his case in hopes that it'll prime the pump that people will contribute, right? And he starts to play a piece from Bach called Partita Number 2 in D minor, and it is arguably the most difficult violin piece ever composed in human history, and he plays it flawlessly, beautifully. Now this guy, Joshua Bell, 3 days before was at the Boston Symphony Hall playing this same piece, and people were shelling out $500 to $1,000 just to sit in a large auditorium, maybe 200 feet away, to hear him play. And here they were walking right by him without even noticing him. Imagine. In fact, after 3 minutes, not one person even acknowledged him. After 4 minutes, one person put a buck in to the box. He played for 43 minutes. He made 32 bucks. 27 people contributed. 2 people stopped and listened. 1,070 people went right by, clueless to what they were missing. Isn't that amazing? Now, what does that living parable tell us? That if you and I could just as easily walk by a virtuoso violinist playing the hardest piece ever written flawlessly, if we can do that, just think how many other things that you and I miss in the course of a day and do not give thanks for. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe not. Because if we're not thankful, we're not thankful for all that God has provided. Amen? So no dejo de dar gracias a Dios. Do not forget to give thanks for all that he has done. That's the first thing we need to see today. But the second thing that we need to see is that gratitude is grounded in God. This is the one reason why of all of the celebrations, Thanksgiving is my favorite of all. And apparently I'm not alone in this prejudice, because they did a survey years ago of the host of the Today Show, and the viewers, the audience there, wrote questions, and they asked each host separately, and they recorded their answers. Most of those questions were predictable questions. Most of those answers were predictable answers, except one. What's your favorite holiday? What was surprising is that one, not two, but all 4 of the hosts said the same thing. Do you know what it was? You guessed it. Thanksgiving. Indeed, Matt Lauer, Ann Curry, Al Roker, and Meredith Vieira were all shocked that they all said the same thing. And the reasons were similar. Why? I love Thanksgiving because it's downtime. It's slow time. It's family time. It's one of those holidays you just chill and fill in the blanks. I mean, all you got to worry about are food, family, and football. That's it. I mean, that's like heaven, baby. All in one day. I would agree with them. But I would add one more thing. I would note that we get a chance to use that time to thank God. Because Thanksgiving is grounded in God. I mean, who else are we going to thank for all the blessings that we enjoy? Our parents? Our grandparents? Our great-grandparents? No. Nothing or no one is great enough to provide all those things except one person. That's God. Thanksgiving is grounded in God, and that's the compelling logic of this celebration, as Thanksgiving quite naturally gives itself to thinking about the Creator who made it all. Now, that's not to say that that's going to continue, for Thanksgiving may go the way of Columbus Day. If the cancel culture and the cultural Marxists of our day have their way, they will try to erase our past, our Constitution, our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly to worship, and the rest of our Judeo-Christian traditions. If they want to stop those, what's to stop them from erasing Thanksgiving one day? What's to stop them? I'll tell you who's going to stop them, you and me. We're it. I mean, as I've said before, you know one of the worst things about being an atheist is? You have no one to thank, right? Therefore, for the atheists and the cultural Marxists of our day, Thanksgiving is an awkward holiday. It's weird. It's uncomfortable. What are we doing here? We're here to thank a God we don't believe in. Perhaps the best spokesperson for this embryonic movement to erase Thanksgiving might be Bart Simpson. In an episode years ago, Bart Simpson, it was Thanksgiving, they asked Bart to say grace to God. You know what he said? Oh, Lord, my dad did all the work to get the food. My mother did all the work to make the food. What did you do? What are you good for? That was his prayer. Now, Bart Simpson is only a cartoon character, but he says what a lot of secular atheists are thinking today. How sad. But that's the way of many people today. Because many people have no feeling of thanksgiving because they have no grounding in God. Amen. And therefore, they have no one to thank. I have a Pentecostal in the crowd. All right. Hallelujah. But I don't know about you, but as for me and my household, we will thank the Lord on Thanksgiving. Amen. So the first thing we need to see today is that gratitude is a memory of the heart. The second thing we need to see is that gratitude is grounded in God. And the third thing we need to see is that gratitude is the parent of all virtues. We see proof of that in one of the other Paul's epistles, this one to the Romans, where in chapter 1 he goes on this riff. I mean, it's a riff of spewing out this whole litany of sins of humanity that's become separated from God and has degenerated into depravity. I mean, in verse 29, he says, human beings apart from God are filled with what? All manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malicious gossip, slanders, as they are haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Wow. That's what humanity looks like apart from God. But where does that cutoff begin? Where did it happen? In verse 29, no, those are the symptoms, the results of being cut off from God. Where does humanity first get cut off with from God? Back in verse 21. Where we read that despite the glory of God that is revealed in nature, down at the playa, at a sunset, at the mountains of Puerto Rico, where we see God's glory, rather, despite the glory of God that's revealed in creation, and despite all of the equivalent thousand divine violinist virtuosos that we walk by every day and do not notice, the overwhelming evidence of God's goodness and grace, his artistry, we ignore. And what do we do instead? Verse 21 tells us, for although they knew God, as there was so much evidence of God, they did not honor him as God, or what? Wait for it. Are you ready? They did not give thanks to God. You see, that's the tipping point. That's where humanity breaks from God. When humanity stops thanking God for all that we have, including these little ones. Right? They do not give thanks to God. Instead, Paul says they become futile in their thinking and foolish in their hearts as they're darkened. So instead of a gratitude being a memory of the heart, it becomes forgotten in their hearts, and then that becomes a gateway for all of the vices and all the sexual perversions and sins and debauchery that the rest of the passage points to. But it all goes back to what? To a lack of gratitude, of thanking God. That's the break. For if you and I do not thank God today and worship God today, then who are we going to worship? We're going to worship ourselves. We're going to worship our race. We're going to worship our bank account. We're going to worship our lucky stars. But what we give thanks to, we worship, and those are all false gods, are they not? And false gods produce false morality. In fact, false gods produce immorality once you're divorced from the true God. And I believe that's where we're going as a nation. And that's where you too may go as an individual. If you cut yourself off from God and forget to thank God for all that He is, all that He has done every day in your life. Thanksgiving is critical. You know, in closing, I said from the beginning that the Apostle Paul penned this epistle while he was in prison, chained in prison, expecting execution, martyrdom, anytime soon. If you look back, you look at your circumstances right now, how many of you are chained in prison right now? How many of you expect maybe in the next couple of weeks you'll be executed because of what you believe about God? Anybody here? Anybody under those circumstances? I didn't think so. And yet, under those circumstances, Paul gives thanks to God. Paul pens this epistle. Not only does he give thanks, he tells us we need to give thanks. In closing, in Forbes magazine, talks about a man who was not in the chains of prison like Paul was, but he was in the chains of depression. Right? His name was John Krellick. He was a lawyer. He had just been divorced for the second time. He was overweight, gordo. He had no control over his life. He was low on his money. He was depressed. And he was in a cycle of depression. You know how that works? We see this under COVID. People get depressed, so they don't want to go out and talk to people. And because they don't go out and talk to people, they get depressed. And because they're depressed, they don't go out and talk to anybody. And because they don't talk to anybody, they get more depressed. And it's a vicious cycle, isn't it? But in the midst of this tough circumstances, a brilliant idea came to John to every day to wake up and to write a thank you note to somebody in his life, whether it was a colleague, a friend, a family member, someone he met, a teacher, a professor. Every day he took the time to write a thank you letter to someone. And that discipline changed his thinking, changed his mentality, changed his heart, changed his approach to life. And instead of seeing things negatively, he started seeing things positively. And as he became more thankful, he became more energetic. He became more alive. He became more virtuous, in fact, and more able to have an ability to give and to love instead of take and critique. And it changed his life. And that can change our life also. But it has to be a mental discipline of the mind and a memory of the heart. For true gratitude is the memory of the heart. True gratitude is grounded in God. True gratitude is the parent of all virtue. So the question is, are you grateful today? Will you be grateful on Thursday? Or more importantly, will you be grateful every other day of the year? Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us so much to be grateful for, Lord. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for just walking past the equivalent of a violinist virtuoso playing right beside us of the glory of your creation, Lord, of the things in life that are beyond coincidence. They are things that were planned by you to bless us. Lord, help us to treasure those, to remember to thank you for them, and to allow that gratitude to change us and make us grateful people who love others and want to share with others because you've shared so much of yourself with us. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the experience of life in our midst from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 To close today, there's something very special as Gabby and Natalie are going to come forward and play guitar and sing unto the Lord.
And oboe.